When I was in my late 30s and maybe a little bit into my early 40s, I often felt like this represented my life. That, I mean, I wasn't an archer or anything, but I often felt like I was not hitting the goal that God had for my life, that I was not truly living in the way that God had intended for me to live. That maybe there was this will, which would be like a target, that I was supposed to be fulfilling, but I just quite wasn't there yet. And I'd shot a lot of arrows. I had, you know, really, you know, done a lot of different things. But just that feeling inside, like time is ticking. Time is running out. Kind of like that soap opera, the, what is it? As the World, thank you. I know some of you are sinful soap opera watchers. As the World Turns, yeah, that time is just, it's running out.
The days of our lives.
Oh, the chief center of them all. And that I wasn't, you know, just that midlife crisis kind of thing, like, oh my gosh, you know, my life's about half over. And am I really doing it right? Am I really doing what God wants me to do? Am I reaching my potential? Well, whether it is at midlife or not, we all likely feel that way, don't we? We feel sometimes that there is this thing that God wants us to do, or this person that God wants us to be, God's will for our lives, and that maybe we're just not doing it yet. I think we all struggle with that at different times. As we heard in our gospel text this morning, Jesus had a very clear understanding of who he was, who he was to be in this world, and what he was to do in this world. I don't think he had a midlife crisis at all. In fact, he died when he was, at least as best we understand, about 33 years old. I know he struggled, as we heard in our gospel today, just with what was coming. And that part, that human part of him, was feeling the pressure and feeling the pain that was to come in his life, the struggle of it all. And he is asking God for God's help. But yet he is still very clear-minded about what he is to do. And this is what he is telling his disciples. In fact, what he is saying is going to happen to him. And he's just being up clear in front. Like, Peter, I know you've missed this a few times. I'm going to go over it again. That the Son of Man must suffer and must die. And he uses this language of being lifted up. And so certainly Jesus had a clear understanding of what was happening to him now that he was in Jerusalem. Now, don't get too far ahead, because next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and we're going to come back into Jerusalem from Jericho again. But John's gospel has us there already. Jesus has cleansed the temple, as we looked at last week. And now he is telling his disciples some things. This is what's getting ready to happen. And this all is spurred on by these Greeks who were hearing some things about Jesus. They had not yet seen him. And so they go to Philip. They recognize Philip as a follower of Jesus and said, hey, can you hook us up with your friend? Because we would really like to see him. This guy sounds pretty cool. And so they say, sir, we would like to see Jesus. We want to see him. In other words, we want to see him. We want to hear him. And we want to know what he has to say. And so Philip goes and tells Jesus. And that leads him into this conversation with them. Not that, hey, I don't want to see them, but before long, everybody's going to get to see me. And when I am lifted up, I will draw all people, Greeks, non-Greeks, everybody unto me. But there are some things that are going to go on before that. And so he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And so Jesus is sharing this, thinking about his death. I love this painting. And you see Jesus kind of struggling up here in prayer. And I love the fruit that's right there in the tree. And then, you know, Peter, James, and John and others, you know, they're like snoozing some big time Z's down here, right? That's what you and I would be doing. Like, this is too much for me. I cannot handle it. I just want to take a nap. And so that's what they're doing. But you see off in the left hand, there's some movement going on over there. There are some soldiers. There's some people that are going to be coming and wanting to have a little conversation with Jesus about the things that he's saying and the things that he is doing. So Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, then it doesn't bear fruit. It has to do this. It has to fall. And so Jesus wanted his disciples to hear this as well. This is what's going to happen to me. And what you must know as disciples of mine is that you too will need to die. To recognize that it's not all about you in this world. It's about God. And it's about what God wants to do in this world and wants to do through you. And so Jesus reminds them again, and all this about service, that wherever I am, that's where my servant's going to be as well. If you say you're a servant, but you're not with me, then you're really not a servant. And you're really not with me. So as we hear this, I think it's good for us to hear this as well today. Because I think we profess that we are disciples as well, don't we? That we are followers of Jesus. I mean, you're here this morning on this day of terrible weather. So I'm going to say, you're disciples. So say it out loud. I'm a disciple. All right. And it's good for us to hear. And I wonder this morning, as a disciple, are you living up to God's potential for you? Think about that in your own mind. Are you really living up to God's potential for your life? Well, here are some things that Jesus gives us in order to evaluate that and to be able to do to make sure that we are reaching our God-given potential. First, he says, don't settle for being just a grain. Our lives are all about our lives, aren't they? Everything kind of revolves around ourself. I mean, that's our tendency, right? Even the best of us have troubles with fighting against ourselves and fighting against serving other people. It's all about what I can get for myself and what I can do. It is this whole Western idea of rugged individualism, right? I don't need anybody. I don't need anything. I can do it all by myself. But I think we're all old enough in here to recognize that we can't, right? And that's really not how God made us. That's not how your brain and your soul are wired together. Because God has called you to serve and to love and to be involved in other people's lives and not to settle for being just a grain. Because if all that's what you do, if you just settle for being about yourself, then you are just a grain. And you're not going to produce anything. You're not going to bless anybody except yourself. So what Jesus would say to us is fall and die. Well, that doesn't sound very good, does it? Yeah. I mean, he didn't say it kind of like that, like fall and die, everybody. But if you want to be great in this world, if you want to be great with God, then you need to fall into the earth. You need to fall into the context of wherever it is that you are, into your world, into your family, into your neighborhood, into your city, and be selfless. To die to yourself wherever it is that you are, because if you don't die, then nothing ever is going to come from you. And so Jesus says, go and do this. Live selflessly in service to others. And we know that is what Jesus did. I want to show you some pictures just from, I know there were a lot of different missional team activities going on this past week. But here are some people who fell into the world this past week and died a little bit. This is at the Veterans Transition Center right down the street. And every month we go and take just about 15 or 20 minutes out of the week. And Ralph bakes a sugar-free cake. And Cliff bakes a fully loaded sugar cake. And Odessa shows up to help cut the cake, pass the cake out. Bill shows up to play happy birthday for everybody. Stan shows up to be a blessing to others who are there and remind them of God's presence. Beth Watts is always there cutting cake as well and passing it around, loving on the people who are there. And so it is about falling into the world, into a veteran center made up of people who are formerly homeless and struggling and getting back on their feet and loving them. That's what it's about. And there's so many ways that we can fall and die in this next week. Isn't that exciting? You get to go into the week and fall and die. You get to go and be selfless to other people. And there's so many ways that you can do that. And that we ought to go and bear much fruit. Maybe it's just by saying that, you know, to someone something very encouraging. Maybe it's just listening to someone. Maybe it's smiling at someone. Maybe it's taking some food to somebody who's having a hard time. Maybe it's opening the door for somebody, whereas nobody else will open the door for them. Being kind and loving. These are things that we are to do, and we are to bear fruit that God has given to us, that kind of fruit that God wants for the world. And think about that for a minute. Just envision the harvest of our lives, like when we're all doing that. I mean, just those in this room, and Jesus only had 12, and one of them was a failure. And yet they began to change the world. The ripple effects of their lives changed the world. We, you and I, are here today because of what they did and their selflessness. And when we do that, think of how it will change our neighborhood here in Highland. Think about how it will change the city and the state and the world around us. Envision that. I love St. Patrick. And today is St. Patrick's Day. So if somebody next to you does not have green on, you can wholly pinch them. I mean, not right now. St. Patrick lived in the 4th century, I think died around 486. And if you don't know the story of St. Patrick, spend some time today looking at it. I'll give you a quick summary. He was born in England, and he was captured by Irish pirates. Sounds like a cool story, doesn't it? And he was taken to Ireland and lived there 6 years, enslaved. He was able to escape and went back to England. And while he was in England, he heard from God, and God said, "Patrick, I want you to go to Ireland and be a missionary. I want you to take Christianity to Ireland." And so Patrick packs up his bags and goes back to the place that had enslaved him. And he brings the light of Christ into that island and shines it brightly around them. Much has been said about how the Irish saved the world. If you're Irish today, you can know that you have a little bit of that changing Western civilization and beyond. All because of one guy who got out of his comfort zone and said, "I'm going to fall and die, and I'm going to change the world through Christ." One of the quotes from him that I really love is, "If I have any worth, it is to live my life for God." That's where he found his worth, by losing it. May we too find our potential living for God right here in this world. Amen.